Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody, it's Mary, and welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. I am so happy that you're here today. I hope your day is going extremely well, and I appreciate you joining us. I know that you know we have some really fun guests, and today is no exception to the rule. You know, I don't know if you know about this, and my background was I was a celebrity lecture agent, and so I had an opportunity throughout the years to book a lot of comedians, a lot of thought leaders, speakers, mostly on the college market. And every once in a while, you'll meet somebody that you're like, oh my gosh, they have that it factor. They have the charisma. It's not something you have to teach. It's something internal. Additionally, if it's a talent that's on stage, they have original material, they have creativity. And in my early years, I was really fortunate. I worked at a place called Kepler Speakers, and I worked with people like Jerry Seinfeld. And when I saw Jerry Seinfeld, I was like, this guy is like amazing. And so I started booking him, and lo and behold, he ended up getting the Seinfeld show. Then I saw Jeff Foxworthy, who I got to know pretty well. And he was just starting it out as a comedian on the circuit, on the college market. And I just thought he is really different. He's the guy that had, you might be a redneck if. And so you might remember him. And he started actually at IBM, and then he just went on into a comedy career. He was like, ditch this corporate thing. I'm going into comedy. And then he had a TV and media career like nobody else. And then Carrot Top, who actually lives in Winter Park part-time, and he has a show in Vegas, is not where he started. He actually grew up in Cocoa Beach. His dad was an engineer at NASA, and he and I knew each other since he was really young. We both had a house, and we both lived simultaneously in Charlotte, where I started booking him. I had my own business, and I was booking speakers. And so I went and saw him, multiple times and booked him. And I still see him today. He's amazing. And so I have found somebody else that I am, like, such a fan of. And today, you guys know Instagram is the place, Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And I have found a star that I am just so excited about. And when I talked to him last week, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting to talk to him. Okay, so I'm going to uncover who it is now. His name is David Abed. And David creates short videos, and he plays multiple characters. He becomes the mother, the father, the son, the girlfriend. He exchanges expressions, voices, personality, and perspectives with an incredible skill. His facial expressions are beyond me. And he understands the human connection. The human connection is so important in today's world. And also, he understands family and love. Sometimes these videos are, like, hilarious. And honestly, sometimes they make me cry. But he is somebody who has really tapped into something I haven't seen anywhere else. And so, David, I'm so excited you're here today. Welcome to my show.
Thank you. So, best intro of my life. Wow. I hope I can live up to that.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. No, you got it. You've got that special something. And I told my producer, I'm like, I hope I don't cry today, because what you've been able to do is really tap into a mother's love for her son. And I'm a boy mom. And so I want to kind of, you know, talk to you and find out how you do it. I think you have a formula. I know that it's because of your relationship with your mom that really probably inspired. But I want to know, like, how did you start this character, and how did you realize that you could make people laugh? Because you certainly do that.
Well, thanks so much, Marina. It's such a pleasure to be here. You're so kind. And even in the short conversations we've had leading up to this, you've been so supportive of me. And that really means the world. So I couldn't be happier to be here.
Oh, thank you.
It goes, you know, I was voted class clown in high school, so humor has always been, you know, I think for most people, a mechanism to cope, a mechanism to fit in. You know, I was never the athlete. I was never the popular kid. It was making people laugh that made me feel connected to people, as I think many people that like making others laugh does. And that to me, moving to Los Angeles after going to the University of Michigan, and I got heavily into the improv scene, some stand-up, some sketch, as well as acting. Mm-hmm. I moved out here to act. Mm-hmm. And so, man, my Facebook feed reminds me that I've been making funny videos for about 10, 12 years now.
Wow, overnight success.
Yeah, overnight success. I found one where I shot something with an ex-girlfriend where I was at the doctor's and she said, you know, we've gotten the test back and it turns out you're not as funny as you think. And so,
but you are.
So, you know, I've gone, oh, thank you. I've honed the craft. So it's gone back a while, and it's, you know, it's always been, as I think anybody that comes to L.A. or New York to act, you find out really quick. It's a tough business. You're always waiting for the audition. You're always waiting for your agent to call. So you need to keep that fire going. You need to keep your own inspiration.
Yeah, for sure.
And so luckily, and that's why, I also do social media as a career. And I always tell everybody, make content that you want to make all the time. Because if it's stressful or if it's you're dreading making it, it's going to come across. So just making funny videos has always been something that I just do for fun. I never expected anything back from it. And then one day, you know, like you said, I have a good relationship with my mom, who still lives in Michigan, in my home, my hometown, my childhood home. And one day I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to do an impression of my mom driving around, making comments about people on the street or the cop behind her or looking for the hot coffee from McDonald's. And so I did that. I put it on TikTok and I opened it, and I was used to getting 300 views, as most people know that feeling. I opened it and it got 70,000 views. I thought, my gosh.
Wow.
And so then I had always had the second idea of moms versus dads airport pickups. Two different experiences when each of your parents pick you up. And so I just thought, I'll just throw that together. It sounds kind of fun. Open my TikTok the next day, 1 million views.
No way. Oh my gosh, that's huge. Wow.
And it happens for many creators, you know, you don't know the formula until you find out the formula.
Okay.
And so something I've tried to really learn from my past is when you see something's working, keep following it. So I thought, well, shoot darn it all, as my mom character often says. Let's keep making these mom videos. And so, I mean, it's been since COVID time, really.
Oh, wow.
That I've had this character.
Okay.
I had companies reach out right away. And, you know, I think in the beginning it was a lot of, you know, kind of teasing moms looking for coupons, or, you know, really looking at the menu or trying to figure out how much to tip. And over time, like you said, what I realized from my audience is that while moms often have a good sense of humor, they're willing to laugh at themselves.
Yeah.
They love their kids and they love seeing themselves as the hero, and not in a cocky way, but in a way of saying, I will do anything for my kids.
Yes.
And so the videos were moms, you know, moms when their kids are sad, moms when their kids are sick, moms when their kids got fired. And moms will do anything in the world to be there for their kids and make them feel better. And that's what I've found over time has become the secret sauce. So that's what I've been continue to do. And it's moms like you with your kind words. And I get DMs like your kind words every day from moms that are saying, you know, my kid is overseas. My kid is in the army. My kid just moved out. And it's your video that I share with him, even though I annoy him. And it makes me feel closer, or it brings me to tears. And it makes me feel really good. And it's, you know, as an actor, I think we're always trying to find more empathy within both ourselves and in what we're trying to portray.
Yeah.
And I think it's really been tapping into empathy that has allowed me to find whatever success that I have. I think that's what's helped me get there.
I love it. Yes. Okay. So I want to point a couple of things out. Your overnight success, 10 to 12 years. And then you've been doing this character since COVID, which is several years away from us now at this point. And so the experience that you've been able to collectively get over the past several years is like, you're an expert at this point. And I, you know, sometimes people are starting like, oh, I'm going to be a TikTok star immediately or whatever. And, or an actor go out to Hollywood and they don't make it the first year. But what you've been able to do is stay consistent. And what I also loved about what you said is making content that you really love that makes you laugh, you know. I think that's amazing. And I hear where your career took a turn when you woke up and TikTok kind of made you a star. And, you know, I don't think for me, it's you've opened up different views like, oh, yeah, yeah, that does resonate. No, it's really, really hard to, you know. So I'll be like laughing at you at the ridiculousness of what you're saying and doing. And then it'll touch something, a nerve in my heart. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love my son so much. You know, I only had one. So it's really, you've really captured something about family. Now, when did you add the mom character, your real mom, and then also the dad character, and you have a girlfriend character? Tell me about some of the other characters. We just have about a minute and a half left before the break.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, I mean, the mom versus dad was the big first one that took off with both of them. Okay. And then, you know, the mom, just because me and my mom have such a close relationship and she is such a character, that just felt, I just got it more. And it just seemed like moms, you know, in social media, you know your audience. I'm looking at my analytics and it's 90% moms. So I thought, okay, I'm going to roll with this for a while. But then after, you know, a little bit, I thought, well, let's get the guy perspective, the dad perspective.
I love the glasses, by the way, of your dad. They're so dorky and hysterical. I love them, you know, put it up on your head in such a ridiculous way.
Yeah, it's the key is you got to find both the exterior, what do you get right away from this character, but it's always exploring the interior. Where are these people coming from? And so it's still me, you know, I think I'm still exploring where are these dad characters coming from. You see different dads in the media, and so it's kind of like, okay, which one am I trying to portray?
Oh,
and then the
it.
Girlfriend, I think I learned from a lot of moms in my DM, they're the foil.
Yes,
they love them.
Yes, you know, we love the girlfriend. We love the girlfriend. Well, shoot darn it all, David, Abed. We're going to take a quick break. And if you want to go over to Instagram, what's the Instagram handle that you got there?
Dave Abed, DaveAbed, like Dave Abed.
Dave Abed.
And Instagram.
All right, check him out on Instagram. While we're taking a break, you're going to hear some of our fabulous sponsors. And we'll be right back with The Mary Gardner Show.
Let's unlock the communicator and the leader that you always wanted to be. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary, and I am having so much fun. I hope you are, too. I'm talking to Dave Abed, and Dave is a star on Instagram and TikTok, and he's ultimately one of my favorites. And he's a comedian, and he's really been able to bring the love of a parent and bring it just forth in a way that makes you laugh and makes you cry. And so, Dave, it's been fun watching you this whole time, and now I'm getting to know you. But what about the relationship? You said you're close with your mom. Tell me about that. What is that relationship, and what are you hearing from the other mothers? Because you always hear boy moms, girl moms, whatever. Why do you think the relationship between a mother and son is so strong?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Mary. You know, I think I, like anybody else, you know, with your parents, it has its ups, it has its downs, it has its struggles. But with my mom, there was always a sense that I knew she wanted to be there for me, and in a sense, she needed me too. And then I think I, as a felt kind of a responsibility as a son, as I think many kids do, to try as best I can to be there for my mom. And I think when you have that kind of respect and mutual understanding, it can allow great things to blossom. And I think the fact that my mom's such a good sport, you know, I think if we all just sit back and observe our parents, there's a lot of material there. They're very unique. And as we grow up, we all see that our parent, we're like, oh yeah, our parents are people. They're not just our parents. We think of them kind of myopically, but we learn that they have a past before us. They have a personality. They fit in society in a way that maybe we didn't even understand when we were a kid. And so what I've learned, so as I try to portray that, what I hear from a lot of the moms on my channels is, thank you for making me feel seen. A lot of people say, I felt so alone in my feelings of sadness, or I felt great. Thank you for not making me feel crazy.
Yeah, that's so
and
great.
So it's just,
okay.
Yeah, it's just really interesting that a lot of people feel alone out there in their feelings, in their anxieties, in their worries, and they feel embarrassed to really talk about it.
Oh.
And I think especially in a media landscape where everybody's quick to judge, quick to tease.
Right.
I get it on my page too, and it's not fun. And that's why I really
You just
try
send him over to me, Dave, if anyone is giving you a hard time.
You'll take care of it?
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Finally, the bodyguard I needed, Mary.
I'm a mom. I'm a mom warrior,
right.
a mother lion, you know. So anyway.
I'm literally editing a sketch before this interview about mom being Superman and putting the Superman music underneath mom because that's what you guys are.
Well, okay, so anyway, I gotta throw this in there. I see myself as Wonder Woman. So I was always Wonder Woman, and I have the picture. I'll send it to you. It's like a picture of me with the arms in front crossed with my big bracelets with the serious. Oh, yeah, that's it. And I'll let you use it if you want. You're welcome to use my photo. It's so great.
I love that. Okay.
Thank you.
I just may.
Yeah, it's so great. We'll send it to you. It's so fun. So you're hearing from the parents. That's amazing that they're confiding in you, a comedian, a 40-something-year-old comedian, about their work. And they're embarrassed to talk. And you've like ripped open our hearts. And it is such a beautiful thing to be able to share that. Sometimes I don't even know that I'm feeling that way. And so what Dr. Phil says, you can't change what you don't acknowledge, you know. And so I think you've really tapped into something. And probably on the larger scale, most people are feeling either the lack of love or tension from people. It's probably not just moms, you know. I think that anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the embarrassment to talk about it is pretty universal at this point.
A lot of people are scared to share it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the interesting topics that I saw that I've made that gets a lot of heat in my comments is when you want to bring up a childhood trauma to your parent, when you want to say, hey, you did this to me 20 years ago and I'd like to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting how my page gets super divided between the parents that are like, yes, it is important to listen to our kids. And another half that said, I shouldn't have to hear that. We all have problems. Ooh. I don't want you to put that on me. And it's really interesting that obviously these parents are coming, you know, I'm no therapist, but they get very defensive because they don't want to have to address it. They don't they want to say like, hey, I made mistakes and don't make me feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Part of what my content, where I continue to try to go to my content, is trying to open those doors and say, hey, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world to just have a tough conversation, admit that maybe you made a mistake, we all do, and that can be really healing for the parent-child relationship. And I think that's not a conversation that we're having enough of.
Oh, that's so right. I love that. You've seen the controversy about it. And in a gentle way, you're asking people to open the door and to do it because it could heal the relationship. And when we shut the door on those hard conversations, there's just no getting around it. You're going to either that stubbornness, it doesn't create healing. And I've probably done both. I think I've done a little bit more. More of apologizing to my kid because I went through a divorce and, you know, just the hard thing that goes through and the guilt and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you've covered any of that because I know that in your couple and your family doesn't deal with that. But that's really hard when you are, you know, facing yourself and the things that you may have done at a certain time that you would never do it again. So, you know, then you make it up, you know, for the rest of your life. And, you know, so I don't know. I probably lean more on the time of let's talk about it. And my kid is the way, mom, you're great. Like, look at my friends across the hall, you know, their parents were beating on them. You did a good thing, mom. You were at all my swim meets and, you know, so I don't know. You never feel good enough, I guess. But tell me what you've learned about yourself when you've seen this human condition and you've studied it. You're like a psychologist now. But what have you learned about yourself?
Well, one, I have to say, one of the perks is that just even the other day, I sat down in an airplane to come back from Michigan to L.A., and a fan was sitting next to me, and they recognized me. And they were like, you make those funny videos. And I have to say, it warmed my heart with such, as someone that, you know, came out to act, and, I've been in TV shows and movies and stuff, but not the star that I imagined as a child. So it was kind of a dream come true. It's happened a couple times. One time at CVS, the cashier was like, are you the mom I am. She goes, "You're so handsome in real life." She was like a 60-year-old woman.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cute.
And it made my day. So I will say it brings, you know, I think we're all looking for validation in our own way. So that's been really great. And I think it's helped, you know, really focus my passion, give me a lot, you know, I think a lot of people don't have hobbies these days. A lot of people don't know kind of what to do just to brighten their own day. Mm-hmm. And I have to remember, hey, this is fun. This is something I get to do.
Amen.
And so I really see it not only as a career option, but as a hobby. And so one, it gives me opportunities to write and to perform and to do all the things that a lot of people are waiting to do.
Yeah.
And it allows me to just do it. And two, you know, we're all struggling. And I think I've had to overcome my anxieties and insecurities, and it's really given me a sense of, in a way, purpose. Of, like what you just said, like one of the most touching DMs I ever got was from a mother that said, my child passed away 2 years ago, and this is the anniversary of their passing, and your video came up. And I really think that God sent me your video as a way to say hello.
Aww.
And it brought me to tears. It really did.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's really given me a sense of there's a lot of people that have a lot of feelings of not knowing how to relate to their kids, a lot of their own anxiety, feeling crazy, feeling alone. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's renewed my sense of maybe there's a place for me where I can help in a very small way, bring more people together. You know, I told you in our pre-interview, I get people from every side of the aisle, all religions. They all DM me thinking I'm on their side. Like, I think like they do. And what that taught, at first I was shocked. I was like, what? But then what I realized is, well, that's because they see themselves in my character.
Yes.
And what does that mean? It means we all have more in common than we think. We actually are all living a life that are so much more in common than social media would have us believe.
I love
Even though my humor can be snarky and sarcastic, and I like, you know, to get into the weeds as much as anybody else, what I've learned is, hey, my page is like generally for trying to bring us together and for connection and to make us feel good instead of to make us feel separated.
I love that. Yeah, there's another comedian, or she's not a comedian. She's an African-American woman who started the I Do Not Care Club. And it was women post-menopause. I do not care that my hair looks like crap and I'm going outside in my slippers. I do not care. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's me. You know, and so, you know, I agree with you. I think that people all are suffering a lot in today's world. Just if you turn on the TV, you're gonna, you know, really get in a bad mood.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just everything.
Yeah.
And coming off the heels of COVID, where everybody's somewhat healing from the trauma of all of it all. And so, what I think I've captured also with watching your videos is the humor and the sensitivity and things that maybe I lost being such a tough person in the business world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, I was like the fastest walker in New York City. I lived in Washington D.C. Big agent. You know, I'm strong. I'm capable.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm like a puddle of a mess, you know, crying over these videos that you're producing. So,
I love that.
Yeah, it's been so fun. We're talking with David. Say it again, last name.
Abid.
David Abid. We're talking to David Abid from Instagram and TikTok. You've got to check him out. If you're a parent or have a mother or a father, you'll love his stuff. It's so great. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk to our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about creativity and his future. But creativity is really important for all of us right now in the world of AI. And it's one of those things that we all need to develop. So stay right with us. We'll be right back after the break.
You're not starting over, you're rising higher. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody, it's Mary, and I have the unique perspective of our guest today. I've been a fan of his for like the past year, and I'm so excited to be introducing him to you. And it's David Abid, but it's spelled A-B-E-D. He's on TikTok and also on Instagram. And the reason why I want to bring in guests like him is that he really expands the way that we see things. Oftentimes, we have a life perspective and we get a little bit stubborn. And so today, talking with David is allowing us to see that people have feelings on both sides, politically, religiously, you know, whatever sex you are, whatever race you are, people still have that human condition, which is loving their families and that connection. They desire that connection. And right now, what Dave just told me, and it's true, Dave, I'm so sorry to hear that all these people are out there having anxiety and worries. Does any of that drive you in your comedy, like wanting to make these people that are watching you and just glued to the channel, does that drive you wanting to help people? Is that a part of who you are as a creator?
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I think it starts selfishly in that I have these anxieties. I'm an overthinker times a thousand. And so I'm constantly working through these embarrassments or these issues, thinking, am I nuts? Am I the only one? And being able to kind of put some of that out, either through the mom character or through playing myself, and seeing hundreds or if not thousands of people saying, that's me. I feel the same way. It's like, oh, I'm not crazy. And then when you get the person who's kind of the meanie, who's like, what are you, an idiot? All of a sudden you're like, actually, you're the idiot. Because, you know, the rest of us are all kind of having a communal response here. We're all saying we're feeling something. Or if worst case, you're saying, hey, that's okay that you felt that. You don't have to be embarrassed about that.
Yeah.
And then so all of a sudden it becomes the naysayers that are the weird ones.
Oh.
You know, and so I think it helps heal me in some way. I think a lot of comedians bring their anxiousness and their embarrassment to the forefront.
Sure.
Because when you put voice to it, it often releases its power.
Yes, and I love that. That's so good. Yeah.
And so I do get a lot of inspiration just from the people that are out there. And I do, you know, I come from, my mom is a social worker. My sister is a social worker. My cousins are social workers. So I have a lot of kind of therapy. I've been in therapy for years. So I, you know, I really understand and have been surrounded by the kind of thinkings, feelings, doings, you know, what's underneath it all. And I think, you know, I'm really trying to help people not feel embarrassed by their feelings.
Yeah, because then they get captured in the shame thing, and then that hurts their self-esteem. Then they go internally, and then they don't talk, don't communicate. Then they get hardened and become uncompassionate. Or, you know, so there, it's kind of a chain. So what you're doing is you're opening up those hearts. You've opened up your heart and explored the things. And it is funny how God uses different people, you know, comedians, even to get us to feel something and to feel for the other side. You know, if we could have you at all these political conventions, that would be interesting for you to be able to talk about, hey, the other guys have feelings too, you know. So I love that.
Yeah.
What have your parents, or how is your family feeling about, especially your mom, kind of poking fun at darn it all? You could tell I asked you when I talked to you, are you from Michigan? And you absolutely are. Yeah. It's such a pure place to be from, the Midwest. How does your mom feel about the character and being poked fun of?
Yeah, my mom is the best sport of anyone in my family, for sure. She has never, she's only twice called and been like, I didn't love that video, but she was never, like, don't do it. Or, you know, she was just like, I just needed to share that I didn't love it. And I go, you have every right to feel that way, mom. And I hear you. And so she's always been my biggest fan, biggest supporter. You know, like, I sell t-shirts and mugs, and gosh knows she was the first on my list to purchase all of those. And she wears them around our hometown in Michigan.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, she's my biggest source of inspiration. And it really has, you know, brought us closer together. We started doing a yearly trip to, like, France and Italy, and this year was Hawaii. And so my fans love, she's been in a couple of my videos.
Yeah,
and my
I've
fans
seen her. What's her name?
Go ahead. Teresa.
Teresa. Hey, Teresa, I'm Mary. Let's be gal pals.
Hey, Teresa.
Teresa, I love
you. Can't wait to listen to this.
I'm so excited. No, that's so great. I'm glad that you're getting to spend time with her and getting to do some fun trips. Now, let me ask, because I saw a girlfriend, you know, we've seen a couple of girlfriend videos. is there really a threat, or is that just something you've gotten from a lot of us in the, in the peanut gallery?
What's great is I do have a girlfriend, and my mom couldn't be more supportive.
Oh, wow.
And my mom my whole family has always been, if you love them, we love them.
Yes, that's the way it is.
Yeah. I'm very lucky that no one ever has to pass the mom test.
Okay.
They're always just like, if they love my son, and you know, my parents are always like, are they treating you well?
That's right.
Do they
right.
make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Do they see how special you are?
That's
and
right.
And as long as the answers are yes, they give their blessing.
That's so great. I love it. I love it. Now, tell me, I mean, you have obviously a job too, because you've been pointed out as a creative person. So tell me about the job that now you're doing for other companies.
Sure. So I started in PR about 12 years ago. I just kind of fell into it. I heard public relations. That sounds like something that I would be good at, not even knowing what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Fell into that. It was right when Facebook and Instagram started. Mm-hmm. I became the social media director of a PR firm. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I left to be in Blue Man Group. So I was briefly in the Blue Man Group.
You were in the Blue Man Group?
I was a Blue Man.
Where were you performing?
In New York, at the Astor Place at the Blue Man Theater in New York.
We probably met.
We might have.
<That's> so
have you seen the show?
Yes, I saw the show, of course. I lived in New York.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a great... I have a picture in my house of Clive Owen came downstairs and met us, and it was on the cover of Broadway.com, and it was me and Clive Owen, but me as the Blue Man.
Oh, my gosh.
That was very cool. And then I ended up getting fired because I have the rhythm of a white man.
I have
no rhythm whatsoever.
And so
they're like, it's just not working out. That's fine. I came back, started my own social media business, and I've been doing that for about 10 years. And so I have a number of clients in a number of different arenas. And really what it's come, it used to be caption writing and making photos. And now it's all like what I do with the mom character. It's all video. And I love that, because as you mentioned earlier about AI and creativity, none of us know what AI is going to come, you know, is it coming for our job? What's it going to replace?
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, like you said, creativity, AI ain't there. Believe me, I try it. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the ideas that I have or your audience has.
Oh, I love hearing that.
I make a lot of videos in different ways, different formats for a lot of these clients. And it's all finding, like you said, we're trying to find what taps into the audience. You don't know what it is until you find it, and then you start doubling down. So I just really enjoy in my field being able to test different ways to connect with different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
What's the message that comes across? And that's what I've been doing for 10 years. And I've really been lucky that I love it. It's a passion of mine, and that I've been able to do it with myself. And so in a way, I have my own continual resume that I can bring to other companies and say, see what I do?
Yeah.
I'd like to do that for you now. And
I
so
love
that's been
it.
Really great.
Have any of your clients gone viral?
Oh, yeah. One of my clients is a law firm, and we have videos that's a couple million videos.
Wow.
So we're going viral. Every once in a while, I have an acting studio, and we just had our first almost million video the other day.
Okay.
I run a dog meme account for a dog harness company, and my meme, one of my best meme has 10 million views.
Oh, my
gosh. So I've been lucky enough to, I've found success with all of my clients. You know, it always starts the same way. Who knows what's going to get there? But it's just trial and error and kind of just figuring out what's going to resonate with the people out there.
Cool. Yeah. So you have not only put the creativity behind the character of what you found, but now you're really working with professionals. And do you go on site when you're videotaping, or do you send people?
It's me. It's always me.
You.
Sometimes I might be the spokesman.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm helping the person at the business talk themselves.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm just creating like the meme. Mm-hmm. And so it really depends. People you know, and then I get sponsorships too for my my content. So like a Zillow or larger companies like that, pillows companies have come, and so I make, you know, unique ads for them.
Oh my gosh.
And
yeah.
so it's kind of whatever I need to be and however it best serves the company. I'm also really excited to be in communications with an organization that's helping me develop a show, like an online show.
Oh,
so we might be bringing the mom character to like its own account. Like it'll still be online, but it'll be like perhaps with other actors and a set. And like everyone's like, you should get your own show.
Oh, for sure.
And it's exciting that that may be coming in the future. So I'm super excited about that.
I love it. Well, I know this really good company called Mary Gardner Communications. And so I'll have to put you in touch with them, you know, or for possible.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
I hear Mary's really great.
She's fabulous, fabulous. That's so great. No, and the online show is an automatic, of course, because people are going to just absorb. Once you have a brand, like you've been able to go from just content creator into a personal brand. And that's what I actually do, is help people do that, like the CEOs and help people write books and everything. And so you've been able to cross that big barrier. Everything is open. Where do you see yourself in 3 years, David?
Where I see myself in 3 years, bigger and better with the social media, a little bit more acting, and really kind of running an empire where it's helping parents and their kids have better communication.
Oh my gosh, that's so outstanding. You've got a movement that I see is starting to develop. So it's really a movement. Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, we have been talking to David Abid, who is a TikTok star and an Instagram star and my favorite. And you're listening to Mary Gardner of The Mary Gardner Show. We're going to take a quick minute to listen to our fabulous sponsors, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Sharpen your voice, refine your brand with The Mary Gardner Show. Let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. You can always send me an email at mary@marygardner.com and tell me who you think I should interview, because I'm always open to that. And if it's Orlando Central, that's great. Or if it's somebody national that's got some great advice for the whole audience. My job and my career and everything I'm trying to do is to inspire greatness in you. And my purpose is to ignite greatness. So when I meet somebody like Dave Abid, I am just so thrilled that he is already at that place where he's ignited his greatness. Now he's kind of swimming in his lane. And so I want to help all of you do the same thing. So we're going to talk to David Abid. And Dave, you are on Instagram. Give us your titles or where they can find you on Instagram and TikTok. Spell it for us.
Yep. Both spots is Dave Abid, DaveAbed, like Dave Abed.
Abed. Dave Abid. Okay. So, and I promise if you go there, you'll be addicted, and then you're going to be calling me Mary.
He's so
great.
And DM me and tell me you heard me on Mary's show.
That's
I'd love
right.
to say hi.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, I want to give some advice to our friends who are listening. And I do think that it's important that a lot of people are like, no, I don't want to do any social media. Some people spend all day long on it. It's become an addiction. But what advice would you give someone who's afraid maybe of putting themselves out there creatively like you've been able to do?
Yeah, I think one, embrace it. If you're going to do it, do it. Find a lane that's right for you and a way that you can create something sustainable and consistently. I think a lot of people make the mistake of they post once and it didn't do well and they said, this isn't for me. No, you got to post. I often tell new clients 3 to 6 months before you can probably see anything.
Okay.
So that's one. I think two, a lot of people think, let me be as broad as possible in my topics. Let me talk about or be something that everybody can relate to. That's actually a mistake, because what you're doing is you're competing with everybody, the biggest audience. Mm. Try to find the narrowest lane possible. Guy dressed as his mom talking about parent-child relationship. Very narrow lane.
Very narrow,
And so it allows that it's not, you know, I definitely, like my trainers at the gym was once like, wow, well, I can tell some people like your content. I don't get it, but obviously you're doing well. It's not, he said it in a nice way, but it made me laugh because I was like, yeah, he's right. Like, it's not going to be for everybody. Not everybody's going to get it. And that's okay. So I think when you're getting to social media, you know, try to do something that you love, that you want to do, and try to do something that's narrowly focused so that you can kind of start finding your audience. And then once you see something pop, once you see something hit a little bit,
yeah.
try that again. What's another way to try that again?
Interact
with your fans, learn. I often, when I'm out of ideas, I go to my stories and I say, hey guys, out of ideas. Last time I did that, I got 200 to 300 DMs from moms full of ideas. Some I've done, some I never thought of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, social media doesn't have to be for everybody, but I think it can be an excellent outlet for people if they're interested. And just do it because you like it and because you have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it because you feel like you have to, because that shows.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. You said that earlier. Do something you would do. It's kind of like that thing about your career. Do something you would do for free. That would be the best.
Exactly.
So you get lost in it. You want to study it. And that's like how I've been with what I do, communication. And I've done what you've done, like in terms of, because I used to write articles all the time on, there was 100 years ago, it was like e-zine articles. And then I was in the Orlando Business Journal. And I was one of the first people to write about social media in Orlando.
Oh.
And people were like, that's nothing. I'll never do that. I'm like, yeah. I met my ex-husband online. I was one of the first people to write about that, and did a college tour on how to find your soulmate online. And I I was one of the first out there. It was in the early days of America Online, and we met in a chat room. And
whoa.
So yeah, but anyway, so I love catching those trends, and I see what you're doing. You're starting a trend, and you're also, it's like you're lighting a match, you know, under people's hearts. And so I see that is something you just mentioned a few minutes ago, that you are going to be getting parents and kids together somehow. I love that. I want to encourage you to do that, because I think that is, there's a big divide right now, and there are a lot of, it's kind of a trend to, you know, like, oh, I'm not friends with my family anymore. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. And it's not a good trend, because over time, your friends who you're hanging out with are not going to be there when you're having a baby necessarily, or getting a baptism, or, you know, it's like your family. You want to have a good relationship with your family. And so I think what you're doing is so remarkable, bringing people together. What do you think? How could people gain more courage? Because you've had a lot of courage. You went to therapy. You've explored a lot of these feelings. Your family is also in social work. Tell me about that, and how much courage does it take to go out and do this every day and to expose the emotions that you're experiencing, that other people actually tell you you're an idiot?
Yeah, gosh, you know what you made me think of right away is just even the courage to have a difficult conversation with your parents takes so much courage.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I fall short of having that courage.
Mm.
And it just reminded me of, I remember having a tough conversation with my dad one day, and a week later, he goes, you know what I will say? Is I felt that you really listened to me, and that took me back, because he was like, I'm so not used to feeling listened to, and that allowed me to put my defenses down. And I think that's something, you know, we talk a lot about the parent-child relationship and put it on the mom. And I think parents, it is the parent, my opinion is it is a lot of the parents' responsibility to harbor that relationship and kind of be the captain of that ship. But I've been thinking a lot about what is our responsibility as a child, and just as people, and to recognize in every fight, you know, there's two stories and there's two sides. And so I think the more we can be willing to listen, the more we can really be willing to say, hey, this was my, you know, maybe I didn't say that right, or, you know, I can see where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. I do think that goes a long way. And then I think that goes into social media. You know, I get people that have called me names, that have said I have mental disorders, that try to tell me, hey, if you know, I get people that say, you better post this or I'm not following you, or you're going to hell if you don't say this, or if you say this. And so you do have to have a certain amount of courage to take that kind of feedback and say, you know what, as my therapist said, that's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through something,
mm-hmm.
and you can't let that bother you. So I think you have to have the drive, the want. It's like an acting. The want has to be the strongest thing. You want to have a relationship with your parents, or you want to be a content creator, or you want your business to grow. And if this want is strong enough, I think you can overcome a lot of the scary parts of both relationships and business.
Wow, that is so profound and so beautiful.
That did feel profound.
It really is. I'm so happy for your dad and also for you and for Teresa, and that you are going to make and are a great thought leader and also a leader for a younger generation. But we're going to take a quick break right now. I have a segment called You Rock.
You rock, you rock, mm-hmm. You rock, you rock.
Okay, so David, I said my You Rock came about because my brother, who passed away about 8 years ago, always told me, Mary, you rock. Be happy. Do what you want to do. You rock. And so he gave me so much encouragement that I have learned that encouragement is such a great thing. And so I always pick out somebody that really inspires me. And today, the person that I'm inspiring is a guy named David Abed. Abbott. David Abbott. You are my You Rock person. The reason why is that you have given people something that's so rare in our culture, and you've reminded us of family, and you reminded sons to call their mothers. You've reminded mothers how to deeply love their children, and you reminded us that humor and love have often live in the exact same place. In a world where so much content is designed to divide people, your content connects people. You have made us laugh and cry and make us remember. And David, that is such a gift. So today, you are my You Rock. And so I so appreciate
you. You're gonna make
you.
Me cry.
And who is your You Rock person?
You know, I'm going to say the two women in my life, my mom and my girlfriend. I think I couldn't do this interview without saying my mom in this. But as I was saying here, I think my girlfriend too. I think the two women in my life are just have one shown me what love can look like, what love is, have made me feel love. And, you know, my mom was once a state representative in Michigan and has done a lot with her life and continues to find ways to make an impact. And same with my girlfriend, who's just rising in her career and working so hard and doing amazing things. And I feel very supported by both of them and lucky to have both of them in my life. So to the women in my life, I say thank you.
I love it. And what is her name, your girlfriend?
Sylvie.
I love it. Hi, Sylvie. Yes. I'm Mary. Good to see you.
Hi, okay. Sylvie.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, David. This has been so fun. And I've interviewed so many successful people over the years. And one thing that I've learned is that the most powerful communicators aren't always the loudest voices. They're the people that help us see ourselves. And David Abbott's video work is not really about social media. It's about family and it's about love. And it's about the tension between holding on and letting go. Every parent understands it. Every child understands it. And that is why millions of people are connecting with this work. Until next time, remember to encourage someone, inspire someone, and most importantly, let the people that you know love them, that you love them. David, take us out and let us know one last thing of advice before we leave.
Remember to love yourself, love the people around you. We've all had pain. It can be difficult to get over. But follow your passion and don't forget to call your parents.
Oh, don't forget to call your parents. I love that. I love it. Well, David, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you.
It's been an honor, Mary.
So fun. And by the way, just a little tidbit, I did contact a TV agent that I've known for 20 years, who's with a very large agency in New York City. And I'm going to connect the two of you. And I've told him absolutely crazy if he doesn't sign you. And so I'm expecting big things in your life. And I look forward to staying in touch and being friends. God bless you, David. And
Same
God
Mary.
Bless all
Thank
of you. Thank you for listening to The Mary Gardner Show. God bless.